Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
8:31, Friday Food Club is open for business once again. 105 chef Jamie Manford is here. And we've also got a guest who is James from Thorn Wines. And I guess the obvious question is, how do you two know each other?
Well, James gave me an email a couple of weeks ago. So I'm doing another pop-up charity event, this time at Restaurant 22. James got in touch and said, would you mind if we give you the wine? Well, your customers buy the wine from us and we give the 100% profits to the charity, which is something to look forward to.
And which charity is it going to be?
Something to look forward to, the charity.
Oh, okay.
That, supports.
So I thought you said it was something to look,
something to look forward to.
That's the quirky part. It's great, isn't it? So then me and James got chatting over email, and you know, it was very generous, very, very nice of you, because we've said to our guests, Restaurant 22 said, we don't want to make any money from this, because what normally happens, I go into a place and the place keeps their money on the food, on the drink, and then the food profits go to the charity. So James, me and James were talking, and James was like saying that he had a stroke before last year. He had a stroke, and Headway, who was the charity I was supporting with the previous events, and then we got talking from there, and we got talking about our passions of wines and so on. I thought, come on, James, let's go chat about this on the radio. And let Cambridge know what you're up to, really.
So, James, you had a stroke?
Yes, yes.
You look far too young. How old are you?
I just turned 30 this year, and it was a bit of a shock because... It's turned out that it was caused by a hole in the heart, and it's something that about 25% of us actually have and we don't know about.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people are born with them, and then you grow out of it, basically. But it kind of threw last year into a bit of a spin, and when I saw what Jamie was doing and working with Restaurant 22, who are a customer of ours, someone who we work with and we supply wine to, I just... knew that it was, well, the right thing. And actually something that got us off the ground earlier this year was Tom's Trust and an event we did with them, where we did a similar process. And really, for us, at the end of the day, having gone through what we've gone through, it's nice to be able to give back to people that really deserve it.
Your life must have been, it sounds like it's been turned upside down and inside out. We mentioned, I mean, frivolously almost, the little one and the rabbit next door with your wife. And you've had that, which is great. You've had the stroke, which is obviously not great at all. And setting up a business as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been an interesting 12 months. And I think really one thing I've definitely learned from it is that there's never a good time for anything. You can certainly do absolutely everything you want in any of these bad times.
Fabulous attitude. It's great.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Yeah, it's morning, isn't it? So it probably won't be about 3 o'clock later. But it really, it's family, it's friends, it's those sort of people that kind of get you through these situations and passions as well. So,
yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Having heard what Jamie's been through with his past and his father passing away a few years ago, you really get close to the people around you, and you learn a lot from it.
This is what I've noticed with the charity events is that this one I'm doing at Restaurant 22, I've got 11 chefs involved, and it's only a small restaurant.
That's
you see.
Amazing.
And then the previous three is just been myself and a couple of other chefs, and then they've seen what's going on with social media and the charity work, and everybody within the catering trade just wants to get involved and
fantastic.
Get going. We're only serving 38 people, and we've got an 8-course menu. We've had to increase the choices, but it's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm so excited. It's sold out within 5 days. So
amazing.
It was like, yeah, and then I've also got 8 people on a waiting list wanting to do a next one, so let's wait and see.
That's great. Now, I can't believe we got so far into the interview without actually mentioning the wine, which we have in front of us. But I need to ask about the business itself. Lucy gets the glass first. There's a surprise.
Oh,
I get one
away.
As well. Dear. Dangerous passing things over
don't
radio
need the coffee
desks.
Anymore. We've
no,
moved
no, no, no. yeah, it's getting late. Well, it is for us anyway. The business is based locally.
Yes, we're based in just outside Shelford. We wanted to set up a wine business that was accessible for a lot of people. Now, opening a shop or having a wine bar, which is a dream of ours, is something that's not actually overly accessible. It's good for people in a small location, but we wanted something that we could bring wines into.
But it's a double thing. You're supplying, as we mentioned, into Restaurant 22, yeah, and presumably other establishments as well.
We've got
And an online business now. Is that aimed at likes of you and me, really?
It is, exactly. So the idea being that we're online and we offer free local delivery.
And is that the thing? Is the local delivery what? Because I'm sure, as we're about to find out, you do some very nice wines, but there are the national, international wine delivery firms who also do very nice wines and have their publicity absolutely everywhere. So how do you, you know, push above all of that and say, you know, we're local?
Well, it is hard to obviously compete with the big wine merchants and the big companies that are out there that many people will know. But really, it's the business as a whole is about myself, my wife, our love and passion for wine that is focusing a lot on wines that are accessible, focusing on wines that are from countries that we know and love, like Spain, but from areas that aren't as popular. Mm-hmm. It's at the end of the day, we're trying to offer wines that are different to other merchants. But it's our service. It's us. We are the people delivering the wines on occasions. We're the people that are actually going through the options for people. So we have Wine Club that we're just in the process of setting up. And the idea being that anyone can go online and they can set up with a Wine Club, which will send you a package of wine every month. But you'll get wines in there that obviously might not be to your tastes or that you might love, and to be able to chop and change and have myself or my wife as advisors to come along and say, look, you'll enjoy this wine because you like these wines.
And your expertise in all of this, you know, it's established the fact you're only 30. How did you acquire your wine knowledge?
So it's A-level season at the moment and everyone's kind of going through deciding what they want to do with their life. I, at about the age of 16, was loving Spanish. I was loving the language and my parents said, go along, learn Spanish. You can go into the wine trade. You can go do this.
Your parents sound great.
Yeah, they like wine, but they're not the biggest winos. So they were really, really pushy and they were great at saying, do this and do that, but they didn't really know where the avenues would be. And I mean, I went to university. I had a great time. I loved it there, but it wasn't really for me. So I actually went out to South Africa and made wine in South Africa for a couple of years and then came back to work for a wine merchant in Bristol. And then my wife, being from Cambridge, moved back up here. So I took the leap and I went to work for Cambridge Wine Merchants, who were fantastic for me. And they were a lovely business to work with for 7 years. And yeah, it's just been brilliant. It's been a good 10 years of learning the industry and getting into it.
Okay. Well, look, with the sorry, Jamie, did you want to come in then?
No, I was just saying it sounds amazing. It sounds like you've been on a real good journey, and it sounds like your passion's really flowing through. And I must say that, you know, what you're trying to deliver is in you know, that customer experience just between you and your wife is amazing that you're doing that. You don't really get that with the big companies, and you know, for me, going to somebody who's supplying me, I would prefer to just go directly to the people running it, so they can give me that attention to detail to that wine and know what. Personally, what I want to do with the food as well. So yeah, well done.
And kind of touching on that, it's a lot of these companies will have wines that are fillers. They are there to hit the margins, to get the stock. We're buying wines that we love, and that's it.
Yeah,
they're wines that we know are good. They're not, and we're not always going to buy the same wine every year because the vintage might not be good the following year. It's about having wines that we know that people are going to enjoy.
And how do you discover these wines in the first place? I remember once going to one of these, you know, TV tech things I do, and there's like a wine show next door, and I was kind of wondering if there were, you know, people like yourself going in, having a little sip of this, a little sip of that, and deciding what to order.
There are shows like that. Yeah, there's some big shows in London every year, and there's a huge show in Germany that a lot of people go to. Because it means that winemakers can come from all around the world and get to you.
I mean, we're Ponk 2018, that
precisely.
Sort of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're actually off to Rioja and to Navarra and Basque Country on Monday and Tuesday with two sommeliers, and we're going to go actually sommelier from Restaurant 22 and from Alimentum. And we're going to go visit some of the wineries that we work with. We're going to go actually explore some other wineries. And it's about finding these wines with people that are going to kind of become our almost salesmen, our ambassadors, because we might love a wine, but them loving that wine as well is going to be a big addition to our business. And it started, well, with the first wine that we've got, which is from a winery called Fondling in South Africa. This is actually my desert island wine.
And oh, wow, okay.
The kind of wine where it is going to be a bit of a Marmite. It's a style that I love and I absolutely adore, but some other people might not like. And I understand that, but this is my wine that I would go to every week. And I've come across this because I worked at the winery. I helped make this wine, and it's got a big place in my heart and in my life. But it's yeah, finding these wines. We go out there, we work with people who are based in the UK who can advise us and kind of put us in touch with other producers. And yeah, it's actually advice from friends and family and customers.
Okay. Well, look, we better do some travel. I'll keep Lucy away from the glass for a few moments or two longer. And when we come back, we maybe bring in Virginie from next door as well. I feel she should come into this room being French. I kind of figure that a French are half Italian. I think we possibly have some wine expertise with us. It is now 18 minutes away from 9. We are in the middle of the Friday Food Club, and we've gained some glasses. We've gained, they branded glasses as well, which is quite impressive.
They are, yes.
James is here from Thorn Wines, and Jamie Manford, the 105 chef, and Virginie has come very quickly from Studio B when she discovered there was some wine.
Yes, I did.
So what have we got here then, James?
So we have a white from South Africa, and it's from a producer called Vondeling. They have a few wines in their range. This one's the Babiana. Babiana is named after a little flower that grows on the mountainside behind the winery, and they're very much about sustainability, so they put a lot of money back into research and to the Cape leopards and a lot of the Finbos is what it's called. But this is made from Chenin Blanc. Now, Chenin Blanc historically has had a bit of a bad rep because it's been used to make quite entry-level wines and quantity wines. But in the Loire Valley in France, mm-hmm. they have amazing Chenin Blanc there. And there's some famous ones called Savagnier. And this is sort of going that way. It's got that smoky edge to it. It's been barrel fermented, so it's got some yeastiness, some richness, some vanilla notes, but quite a lot of baked fruit. And then there's still acidity. So for me, this is a kind of wine that pairs perfectly with any kind of food. It works well with white meats. It works well with slightly spicy dishes, but nothing that's got too much chili to it. More like an Italian spice. It's a delicious wine, and it's the kind of wine that
it is.
Get
yeah,
into.
No, it is really really nice, and you can smell the you can smell the oak. Mm. You know what I mean? It's really oaky and.
Lucy, what do you reckon?
Really good.
Delicious. Yeah, very good. Obviously, I'm not going to not like
it. Should have some myself, actually, as well.
And it's a good time to taste. A lot of people would think, why would you be drinking wine in the morning? But actually, your palate...
Because you've been up since 5:30. It's fairly straightforward.
Of course, well, for you. But when your palate's at its freshest in the morning, because you haven't had lunch, you haven't had too many coffees, you haven't had lots of other drinks, you haven't been chatting away like we have been, and you can take in a lot more. So... This is tasting rich. It's tasting quite buttery. A lot of people will have a style of wine that they like. They like dry wine, fresh wine, or they like something that's a bit richer. And one thing that we've learned over the years is it kind of actually lines up with what coffees you drink. So if you are a cappuccino drinker or a latte drinker, you'll tend to like something that's a bit softer, fruitier, maybe sweeter. Not sugary sweeter, but fruity sweetness.
And then they're not just liking having a sweet tooth, though.
Well, it's kind of similar. Yeah, it is, actually. But then there are things like, I mean, I've got a sweet tooth, and I like my coffees black. I like an espresso. I like something that's really bitter.
Yeah.
So I actually like my wines that have a touch of bitterness, so tannins. I like wines that have got a bit of oak to them and can be quite big. But at the same time, I'm a sucker for a latte every now and then, and a cappuccino every now and then, or a dollop of sugar in my coffee. So I'll happily take a rich and big and bold Shiraz. So it's interesting, though. We do ask people what they're, for the wine club especially, if we want to get a quick understanding, what wines do you like? What grapes do you like? What coffee do you drink? Done. That's enough for us to work out roughly what you're going to like.
Hmm. So, Lucy, what coffee do you like?
Well, okay, I don't want to sound like very Italian about this, but it does kind of depend on the time of the day. First thing in the morning, it's got to be a very strong espresso. By 11 o'clock, I probably want a cappuccino.
Okay.
And then, you know, just black coffee throughout the rest of the day.
Okay, so then when it comes to drinking the wine of an evening...
Well, I have to say, at the moment, I'm really... this sounds a bit... I really like red wine at the moment, but I really like a punchy... very kind of like thick, is that the right word? Red one. I want a very spicy, heavy, thick kind of red wine. And here it is. Making my dreams come true on Friday morning.
Good start to the weekend.
So quickly, James, tell us about this one.
So the second wine that we brought along is actually one of the wines that we found last year. Funny enough, we found it at one of those shows that you were asking about. We were...
Bonk 2017.
And it stood out to me. It's a crazy bottle. It's hard to obviously show this on the radio, but we'll take a picture
really
later.
Nice.
There's all sorts of things going on there.
Rioja, for years, has been one of those... it's almost like sherry. A lot of people know the brand, they know the name. It's an old name, it's classical. Your parents probably drink it, or your parents did drink it. I mean, we wanted to get something that was accessible and that younger people could look at and enjoy. And this came along, and basically the winery that makes this is called Bodegas Perica, and they've been around since the 50s. They're still family-owned, and they wanted to do this. They wanted to make an accessible range of wines from Rioja. So they made this Tempranillo, which is the same grape that's used to make standard Riojas, but it's not seen as much oak. It's a little bit more intense, but still fresh at the same time. And it's an easygoing wine. It's lovely. And the thing with it as well is there's only 5,000 bottles made. It's small production every year, so it's a bit of fun.
I have a quick
smell it. It's got cranberries, it's got cherries, and then to taste, it's a softer, yet a little bit lifted. It's not going to be as rich and as bold as what you want on a weeknight once you've you want to settle in to watch MasterChef.
What's the French verdict on this?
I do actually like the white. The red, I'm less a big fan. I like more. I would say a strong character type of red. I don't know. Do you know? What can I say? I love all the Lalande de Pomerol type of wine.
Merlot dominant.
Yeah.
I love Merlot.
I'm a big fan of one chateau, which is Chateau La Gaffelière, which is a really nice wine. So I need
Cambridge
a good steak now.
Cambridge 105 are obviously paying you quite well there. and
it's all equal salaries around here as well, which is the best thing.
So can I tell you quickly what's going on after?
That's a very good idea.
Thank you. So Tim Willett meets Cambridge Limited Time Band, and also Ashley Capaldi reviews the latest movie for you. Hopefully I'll be...
105 today. I've got to make... walking a zigzaggy line to Studio B next door. thank you, Virginie. Thank you to James as well from Thorn Wines.
Yeah,
I
really like that red one. That's really good.
Jamie Manford as well. Good to see you as always, Jamie. Back next week?
Yep.
Another early morning for you. Thank you very much. We'll go to the news with Fontella Bass. Here's Rescue Me. Mm-hmm.